Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
You see, this new birth, this fresh start, if you like, is a birth from above. It is from heaven. Let me say it another way. To enter the kingdom of God, you must have a fresh start, a new birth. You must begin again.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. We all struggle with sin, but some mistakes or failures can seem so terrible that we feel forever marked, like they could never be washed away. Today on The Verdict, we'll discover that no matter who you are or what you've done, you have the chance for a new beginning, a fresh start in Jesus Christ. Now, let's join Pastor John Monroe for his new message titled, Jesus and a Fresh Start.
During this series on the teaching of Jesus on marriage and gender, we've covered a lot of ground. We've thought of the biblical teaching on marriage, divorce, the gay debate, LGBTQ+, and transgenderism. However, this series ends with a message of hope. Irrespective of our sexuality, all of us have messed up. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wonder of the gospel is that whatever you've done, there is offered in Jesus Christ a new beginning, a fresh start. You may not accept the teaching on marriage or divorce or the gay debate, but don't miss the reason why Jesus came. Let's learn about the hope presented to you today in Jesus Christ.
Well, after the teaching of Jesus on divorce and marriage, we now have a very tender scene where our Lord Jesus lays his hands on children. We're going through the book of Matthew, and we find ourselves in Matthew chapter 19. And this, in a sense, also concludes a series within the series as we've been thinking of Jesus' teaching on marriage and gender. Matthew 19, then, verse 13, "Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven.' And he laid his hands on them and went away." Did you notice the reference to the kingdom of heaven in verse 14? To such belongs the kingdom of heaven. This thought of the kingdom of heaven is a constant theme in Matthew's gospel. In fact, our Lord Jesus began his public ministry, as we see in chapter 4, verse 17, as he came. This was his preaching: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In chapter 18, verse 1, we read that the disciples came to Jesus and saying, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" What a question. And Jesus tells them in verse 3, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Do you get that? This is the very opposite of the prevalent philosophy in our society, isn't it? Our prevalent philosophy, as we've seen during our series, is this expressive individualism. If it feels good, do it. Everything is permissible as long as it doesn't harm anyone else and as long as it makes me happy. No one is going to tell me what to do. Have you noticed increasingly? Life is more and more about me, my rights, my freedoms, my happiness. The very opposite of the teaching of Jesus. Now, Jesus is saying, as we read in Matthew chapter 19, that the kingdom of heaven belongs to those like little children, verse 14. So it is essential that we understand how we can enter the kingdom of heaven. And here is a wonderful truth, that whoever you are and whatever you've done, you can enter the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes it's called the kingdom of God. So today I want you to think of the kingdom of God. I want you to think of the kingdom of heaven. I want you to look up to God. I want you to understand the wonder of our Lord Jesus Christ. Over this past few weeks, we've dealt with some very difficult subjects on marriage, divorce, the gay debate, LGBTQ plus transgenderism. And you think, well, in God's grace, I'm not part of that community, although some of you are. But let me say to all of us, every single one of you sitting here have struggles, don't you? Every single one of you, including your pastor standing here, have sinful desires, don't we? We are fallen, broken men and women. That fallenness and that brokenness manifests itself in many different ways, but we have all of this in common, that we all have sinned and we come short of the glory of God. And here is our magnificent Lord Jesus Christ telling us how, although we are sinful people, these disciples were men characterized by ego, by a competitive spirit, by selfishness, and by sin. And here is the good news. Whoever you are, yes, whoever you are, and whatever you have done, there is a new beginning. In the gospel, there is offered for you and for me a fresh start. I've called this message Jesus and a Fresh Start. Will you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3? Because we're going to read the words of Jesus that to enter the kingdom of heaven, and who here doesn't want to enter the kingdom of heaven? To enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. Here is one of the most brilliant passages in Scripture, isn't it? John 3, verse 1. Now there's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Impressed? Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I was brought up in the old King James, verily, verily." I still like that, don't you? "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Bottom line, to enter the kingdom of God, to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Nicodemus is faced with the most important issue of human existence. Is he or is he not in the kingdom of God? Is he right with God? Does he have the assurance of eternal life that when he stands before God, he will enter the kingdom of God? He's a sincere man. We admire him. He's a ruler. He knows the Old Testament scripture. We might call him a seeker. And he comes to Jesus by night, perhaps because he wants to keep it secret. We don't know. The important thing is he came to Jesus with a very important question. And Jesus tells him, sincere although he is, ruler although he is, impressive pedigree that he has, wonderful that he is seeking truth, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." That shook the man. Did you notice? Verse 3, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 5, "Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Verse 7, "You must be born again." And I have to say to you, whoever you are, whether you consider yourself religious or irreligious, whether you consider yourself the best person sitting here or the worst person, it really doesn't matter. You must be born again. Unless you're born again, you will not enter the kingdom of God. George Whitefield, the famous preacher, had said of him that rarely, if ever, did he preach without at some point saying, "You must be born again." And a woman came to him and said, "Mr. Whitefield, why is it when you preach, you always say, 'You must be born again'?" You know the answer. Whitefield says, "Because you must be born again." Isn't that what Jesus is saying? And notice what he says in verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." Physical life cannot produce spiritual life. The physical and the spiritual are two entirely different dimensions of life. That's why Jesus is teaching us something which we must grasp, that it is essential to be humble like a child, to be utterly dependent on the grace of God. Unless you are like the child in the sense of humility, in the sense of being utterly dependent, you will not enter the kingdom of God. That is, you will never, never on your own reach the kingdom of God. Your best efforts, your religion, your sincerity, your goodness, your wonderful pedigree that you have, your impressive resume, all of that can never, ever produce spiritual life. God gave you physical life, which we enjoy. We take it as a gift from God. Today, in this beautiful morning, as we get up, we say, "Thank you, Lord." He's given us physical life. Only God can give you physical life. And only God can give you spiritual life. And the message of the gospel is that Jesus Christ came into our world and died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and he arose from the dead. Why is that so significant? It is utterly essential to the gospel message that he has conquered death, he has conquered darkness, he has conquered sin. You cannot conquer your own sin. You cannot by yourself get rid of the sin in your own life. Utterly impossible. Our Lord Jesus Christ, our magnificent Savior, the Lord from heaven, rises that third day and is eternally alive. And this risen Christ is the only one who can give you spiritual life, who can give you eternal life. His very life becomes ours. It said it is the life of God in the soul of man, that you and I, in the miracle of conversion, can receive the very life of our Lord Jesus Christ as you place your trust in him. Listen to Jesus. My Bible's open still at John 3, John 5, verse 24. Another, "Verily, verily, 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 truly, truly, I say to you," Jesus is speaking, "whoever hears my word." Are you hearing the word of God today? That is hearing it with humility. Hearing it not as a critic, but as a humble person listening to the word of God. Says Jesus, "whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has," present tense, "eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." In my sin, I'm in a condemned cell under the judgment of God. I am condemned because of my sin. I cannot extricate myself from the condemned cell. I cannot get rid of the sin in my life by myself. I can clean up my act. I can appear to others to be a nice person, but I have a dark, dark heart as you have. And Jesus is saying, "I come to you, and if you hear my word and believe him who sent me, you will have eternal life." You see, this new birth, this fresh start, if you like, is a birth from above. It is from heaven. If I'm going to enter the kingdom of heaven, the answer comes not from myself, not from within, but from without, from God himself. All of us have had a physical birth, but to be spiritually alive, we need a spiritual birth. A spiritual birth must have a beginning. Your physical birth had a beginning. You can tell me the date of your birth. Your birth certificate will have the exact time of your birth. Your birth had a beginning, your physical birth. And your spiritual birth needs to have a beginning. You don't just get this by osmosis, by being in a church. You don't just pick it up because you have godly parents. No, for each one of us, there needs to be a specific beginning. It comes not from inside us, but from without. Says John in his prologue, John 1 verse 12, to all who did receive him, that's our Savior, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You say, how did that come about? Who were born not of blood, you don't inherit it, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? This gives us hope, doesn't it? That this new birth is not a result of my changing my life and cleaning myself up. And you say, well, I've come to church and I've really got some struggles in certain areas of my life. And as I heard your messages over the last 5 weeks, I was very convicted and I really need to do something about it. And I'm going to get rid of some of the bad aspects of my life. Well, you may or may not be successful in that, but one thing I can tell you is this. That's not the gospel. It's the very opposite of the gospel. That is the flesh trying to produce the flesh. No, this, the message of the gospel, is it's a gift of God. It comes from above. It is a radical change from the inside out. It begins in your heart. It begins in your soul. It begins in the very depth of your being and then is lived out in every aspect of your life. This is why our Savior came. John 3:15. Whoever, says Jesus, believes in him may have eternal life. You're dying from sin. The wages of sin is death. Left to your own devices, you will never enter the kingdom of God. In fact, rather than entering the kingdom of God, you will experience forever the darkness of blackness and the judgment of God. No human cure, absolutely none. Here is the divine cure. You need new life. You need a new birth. This is the wonderful picture that Jesus is presenting of the new birth, a birth from above. And I say to you today, whoever you are today, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why he came in love, died on the cross for your sins and is alive. And today, if you receive him, if you look to Christ, you will, in a miracle of conversion, enter the kingdom of God. Amen. Let me say it another way. To enter the kingdom of God, you must have a fresh start, a new birth. You must begin again. Turn with me, if your Bible's there, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here is how Paul puts it. We've heard how our Lord Jesus puts it in John 3. Here is another picture, as it were, by the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Not everyone is going into the kingdom of God. There is the righteous and the unrighteous. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. You say, well, that's pretty tough, isn't it? Anyone say, well, none of this applies to me? I don't think so. But notice verse 11. If you underline your Bible, here's one to underline. But, says Paul, but such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Everyone, Paul is saying, does not enter the kingdom of God. He gives examples of the unrighteous who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Ancient Corinth was a moral cesspool, something like modern America. And Paul is referring to people who are characterized by these sins. He's not saying that a person who commits one of these sins. He's talking about those who are characterized by it and pointing out, as we need to be reminded over and over again, that sin has consequences. You know that, don't you? But sin has eternal consequences. The wages of sin is death. Notice in verse 9, the first sin that Paul mentions, it is sexual immorality. Sex outside of marriage, we've talked about that in the series. He's saying that fornicators and adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who engage in sexual activity outside of marriage, whether they are married or unmarried, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Adultery is sexual intercourse with someone other than your spouse. Fornication is sexual intercourse with someone when you're not married. Then he says, verse 9, nor men who practice homosexuality. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. These words translate two Greek words, which in some translations are translated as the effeminate and homosexual. The footnote in my Bible, the English Standard Version, has a footnote saying, this phrase, which they translate men who practice homosexuality, refers to the passive and active partners in consensual homosexual acts. You say, but John, it's legal in our country. Yes, it is legal, but it is a sinful act. And Paul is saying very clearly that those who practice homosexuality will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, as we saw in the series, having same-sex temptations is not sin, but Paul is referring in these sins to the continuing practice of these sins, that God holds you and me responsible for our actions and our choices.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Today, we're nearing the end of our study on Jesus' teaching on marriage and gender, with the first half of a message titled, Jesus and a Fresh Start. John will be back in just a moment, so stay with us. With all the turbulence in our world today, many people are struggling to find peace and security. Questions about sin, salvation, judgment, and why it all matters seem to be mounting all around us. And we need to be clear on what God says. That's why John just wrote a new booklet titled Eternal Security, Finding Certainty in a Chaotic World. Learn a bit of his personal testimony as he carefully examines Scripture to give us clarity on personal doubt and questions of eternity. Find answers and better understand salvation by grace. This new booklet is completely free by mail or download. Request it today at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. Then before we close, we invite you to join us in our ministry of sharing these authentic messages from God's Word with new listeners across the world. Your generous contributions are playing a big role in spreading the gospel. So today, give whatever amount God leads you to give by visiting our website at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. But now, with his closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Have you been born again? Do you understand what that means? If you're still in doubt, I ask you to read the third chapter of the Gospel according to John. It's one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible, as it clearly presents God's way of salvation. Think of this. In Jesus Christ, there is total forgiveness, freedom, and a fresh start. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. Next time, we'll conclude with the subject of Jesus and a fresh start.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.